This is Rafflebix After Hours.
And with that intro, so begins episode 121. No, 111th. It's the 111th episode. Hooray! Rack Addicts After Hours time. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Ben, and we've got Pete, the usual duo. What do you know? We've got synth news to talk about today. Oh yeah. But first, Pete, what might you have been up to on this week?
Several things, actually. I don't know if you recall, a couple of weeks ago I was getting into my Typhon, my Dreadbox Typhon, the hologram microcosm.
Yeah, yes, I remember.
I thought it was time to introduce the 1010 music black box into the mix, so to speak, so to get the full trifesta of items operating together.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I've had a bit of fun and games.
Oh, that kind of fun and games.
Yes, to a degree. I don't know if you recall, it's most probably a year and a half ago, I was talking about getting deep into the Digitech. And I got to a point where I hit the buffers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think there's hidden depths and you get in there and suddenly you realise you've run out of road.
Yeah.
And the functionality, you've got to the lowest level of the menu diving.
Yeah.
You've got to all those discrete areas.
Digitech, that normally happens when you want a song mode.
Yeah. Anyway, I've hit the buffers with the 1010 music black box.
A lot quicker
than I expected to as well.
Which particular buffers?
Well, I thought there would be a lot more granular functionality.
Mm-hmm.
And the particular thing that I've been having problems with was transmitting MIDI and clock.
Yeah.
Now, it uses a 3.5mm TRS MIDI adapter.
The dongles, yes.
And it also has a 3.5mm clock in and clock out separately.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that's
modular stuff.
Yes, exactly. So I'd hope to think that you can transmit clock via the MIDI as well. But there's no setup or global function that seems to control the outbound MIDI side of things. Certainly to the detail I wanted to do, and where I specify what I'm sending and how I'm sending it. It just doesn't seem to be there.
Problematic.
So I can only assume that it does it automatically, but for some reason the Typhon, which was what I was trying to clock, didn't seem to acknowledge it. There's also some information in the black box's manual that suggests there are two ways of wiring 5-pin DIN MIDI cables.
Yes, there are, A and B, and I can never remember who's who.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And unless I can get some sort of MIDI analyzer on there or have some sort of generic MIDI controller that can change or assure that I'm getting MIDI information at the other end, I'm not sure if it's getting there.
Yes. Did the dongle adapter come with the black box?
Yes.
Oh, then you would assume it's the right one.
Yes, but it also suggested that you possibly had to adapt at the other end as well. I'm getting a bit confused. There is a video on YouTube. I don't think it's been put out by 1010 Music. I think someone else actually did it, and it describes exactly all the various MIDI setups, but most of them rely on, or most of them concern themselves with inbound MIDI coming into the black box and the attachment of a MIDI controller of sorts so that you can expand the physical size of the interface, i.e. rather than sort of tapping the touchscreen, you can actually use something a bit bigger, especially if you're doing percussive work.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, it doesn't seem to be there for the outbound.
That is quite strange. But the whole point is it does the sequency thing as well.
Yes.
What are they thinking?
It seems to be less functional than the actual Digitech, and the whole reason I got the black box
a similar thing, but very, very small.
Yes, I thought it was more capable. I actually had a customer in the shop, I want to say pre-pandemic, so it's quite some time ago, and I was having a debate about this with him, and he actually had a black box with him in his bag.
Oh yeah.
And I was talking about the Digitech and also the MPC One, and saying that, well, I've got the Digitech, I'm thinking about the black box, but I'm also thinking about the MPC One. And he gave me this massive diatribe about how wonderful the black box was, how wonderful it did everything. I'm now starting to think possibly it doesn't, and something like the MPC One is a much better proposition because it definitely does do everything.
Yeah, song modes included.
Yes. I don't think there's even a proper song mode in the black box.
Oh dear. Sacrificing portability for actually what you wanted to do might be in the future, perhaps, maybe.
There is a new OS stroke firmware update, which I haven't done yet.
Fingers crossed.
And that was the one that I saw being announced at Superbooth in 2021.
Should probably give that a go.
Yes. Hopefully that will bring forth the whole
everything you need.
Cornucopia of extra functionality.
Hopefully it fixes the problem.
But frustrating, because again, I find myself in a position where I want to be inspirational and creative. And the
gears getting in the way.
I'm just fault finding.
Yeah.
And chasing bugs. I'm trying to make things work.
The worst.
It's just, welcome to my world. It always happens like that. This is the burden I have to carry.
Yeah. That's number one thing. What were the other number of the things from this week?
Well, I've been getting into more photography. So,
yes, indeed.
So I've been breaking out all the lighting.
All the big guns.
I haven't aired it in quite a time. I haven't really been doing as much photography as I should do or would enjoy doing. But you know how it is. You need something interesting to photograph.
Yeah.
And one of my favourite things has been at live events.
Yeah, yeah.
Photographing the various performing artists and so forth. And obviously
there ain't been none.
No, there haven't been a lot of that. But I'm limbering up again. So I'm getting my photography stroke videotography mojo back on, which has been in abeyance for quite some time. I would say about 2 years, spookily.
Strange, that one. Maybe we can tempt you to a bit of a modcaf photo shoot one day.
Yeah, I should come along and just take some snaps.
Yeah. Next one, which I can't tell you about now because we haven't actually announced it, might be just the thing.
Okay.
Yes, it certainly should have some commemoration, I think.
I'll bring my camera with a very long lens that normally produces those sort of glamour shots.
Yeah.
If you want to describe
really
it like that.
Really up in your face ones.
I'm not sure you can really describe a load of middle-aged men in a room with synthesizers as glamorous, but...
Yeah, well, that's what it's going to be. Glamour or not, that's going to be your subject if you want to come.
Yeah, well, the joy of having a bit really big lens is that you can get in people's faces without physically getting in their faces.
And upsetting them.
Superficially, it doesn't seem intrusive, but when you actually get the shots, it looks like you were sort of literally pushing the lens in their face.
You, the cameraman, becomes uncomfortable by being so close to somebody across the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, nice one.
And that's been my week.
Delicious.
So lots of technical doodads.
Yeah. Well, I have things to report, and one is quite momentous, I should say. ModCaf happened last week, the day after we recorded the podcast, and it was back to the normal format, but in the big room, on the usual tables that are so low they hurt everybody's backs. And yeah, there was good stuff. We had a Wing Pinger demo from Akira. We had a demo of the Wangulator, which was quite exciting, a sort of physical controller for modular synths. Some jams, some really good jams. I did a jam. I brought the No Coast along and I had a jam with David and it was joyous. David just came up and said, Ben, I don't have a jamming partner. And I wasn't even considering doing anything, but I did. And we just did some droney stuff. It was great and I had a lot of fun.
Has it been recorded?
Yes, it has. Will it be online? Probably not, because there's no video, but I might grab some bits for the SoundCloud, perhaps. But knowing my track record, that will probably be in 3 months' time.
Fair enough. Can you give us a bit more information about the Wangulator? I'm in suspense.
The Wangulator. So, forgive me, kind sir, if I've got your name wrong. I think he's called Tim. Let me find him on Instagram, see if I can find out a bit better. Hold on. The Instagram account, if you want to have some visual aids for these words, will be wang.synth.control, followed by DivKidVideo.
Right.
I don't know. He might be Tim. He might not be. Anyway, he turns up with a modular system shrouded in a pink wooden case. I think it's pink. Certainly is in the slightly strange lighting of the West End Centre. It's an old format that kind of died somewhere and he's just had it for quite a long time, but it's all your classic kind of stuff. He's made a controller that has an accompanying Eurorack format module to, you know, break out all your stuff. I'm going to fetch a picture, and I'm not even going to try and describe it because it's just not going to work at all. Here it is.
Okay, big lump of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Looks a bit like a doorstop.
A little bit. You've got that bent shroud of metal over the top with five faders in there. It's designed to be used with the left hand and a fader per finger. And on your thumb and... is that your first finger? Pointer finger? Whatever. You've got a couple of buttons as well, and those will appear in the module, which I will just get to the bigger picture of.
Is he considering making these professionally, or is it just a one-off?
Oh, you can buy them.
Okay.
Yeah, you can order them. So, you've got this module here, which gives you exponential, log, or linear curves for your faders, a range control for plus or minus 5, plus 5 or plus 10, and the CV out, and then you've got two trigger outs for the buttons. That's kind of a lot. So you can wire it wherever you like, but it's just a hands-on, well, a left-hand-on performance control, because he was frustrated by the limitations of merely a mod wheel or two and a pitch bender. And it was really cool. It's a really nice shape, actually.
Looks like your hand, it fits into your palm, so to speak.
Yeah, so the wooden area, sort of your palm can sit on that relatively nicely. And, of course, depending on hand dimensions, you might potentially struggle, but it's a very comfortable thing. Nice quality faders as well, with a decent throw, so you get really sensitive should you so desire. But wire it up to whatever you like, oscillators, filters and things and stuff. £475 plus VAT.
So was his visit a bit of a marketing kind of
not
campaign
quite.
Or just...
He's been a couple of times before. I think he lives quite close to one of our other attendees. But we're just always interested in that kind of stuff. So we asked,
can I come along and
show off the things?
Just wondered what it was all about.
Just to show us a strange thing that has a great name.
And obviously...
There was no sales pitch at all.
Okay, fair enough. Just by showing it, that's the pitch.
Of course it is. But yeah, he's a really, really interesting guy. He also has a new project, which I don't know anything about, but it's called The Nobulator, which of course, another wonderful name.
Yeah, no innuendo there.
No,
whatsoever.
Neither of them. None at all. But some great, great fun ModCaf times last week.
But what does it actually do?
It's just control voltages on a strange thing. So it's another gestural performative input device.
So what would you just apply it to anything with CV?
Literally anything you so desire.
So it could be opening and closing a filter, mm-hmm. resonance, etc. Anything.
Yeah, all sorts. Definitely using a filter like an MS-20 style one where... playing with the resonance can often be really good. Having that on two knobs with two hands gets a bit fiddly, so mapping that out to a couple of faders could potentially be quite useful if you are somebody who performs with that kind of stuff a lot. In fact, based on Akira's demo of the wing pinger, it would be quite useful for that synthesizer.
Mm-hmm. Lovely jubbly.
Yes, indeed. Good fun. And we're looking forward to next month. Another piece of news. Do you remember last episode and the one before when we were talking about the Erica Synths DIY series?
Yes.
I might have ordered one.
Which one?
The VCO. And I'm on the wait list for the VCA, which should be in stock thonk soon.
So has the VCO been restocked?
It's been shipped to me already. Yeah, a restock just came in, I think, 2 days ago. And I got the notification, went, yes, give it to me now. Yeah.
I was pointing a customer towards that set of educational modules only this weekend when he was asking what's a good way to get into modular.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a good gateway drug.
Definitely. I mean, I only paid £63 for that VCO, so I'm pleased and excited, and I will breadboard it before racking it because I want the full experience, and I do, at the moment, plan on getting the whole set.
Is Thonk still free delivery?
Over £50.
Okay. At least he's doing that, because originally you had to pay for all delivery.
You did, and that was annoying.
Okay. It's almost a shame that they're not in Europe, because it's below £138, that particular order.
Mm.
If they shipped it to you from Europe, you wouldn't pay the VAT.
Yes. Well, a luxury for us, our little friends from Brighton.
Yeah, so we get to pay more.
Wonderful. We have news. Shall we do some news?
Proper news.
News. Now, remember when sometimes we do Behringer things and we just kind of point and laugh at them?
Yeah.
Do you want to do the same thing for a different brand?
Go on, show me.
Rolly are good friends with the squishy things that not many people buy. There is... It's a bit of a self-serving title, really, but they've got a video that's called A Legend Returns. Join the Seaboard Reveal. Yep, they're doing it again. They're trying again with their silly seaboards.
They already went bust once doing this.
I know.
In fact,
this March, a legend returns, says the video. And it looks, ooh, looks exactly the same. Experience infinite musical expression. Whoa, it still looks the same.
They've just resurrected the same product.
Reimagined, re-engineered. Apparently.
So do you think it's not going to go all loose and baggy like the other ones when they get a bit worn?
I imagine it will be susceptible. What do the comments say? Let's find out. Very cool. Hope the company is better organised after the financial and management troubles it was having, says Edward. Yep, that's our thoughts as well. I get the appeal to a certain extent because the squishiness was intuitive for the pressure channels and such. But because it doesn't have the ergonomics of something like the Osmos, it's difficult to adapt to.
Yeah, I'm still holding out for the Osmos.
Yeah, I feel like And this is probably what I said last time. Everybody who wanted a Rolly has already got one. And yes. they're still kicking it and still trying. I mean, I admire their chutzpah. No, that's not it either. What am I looking for? Determination, maybe?
No, it was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, it's one of those words. Okay, just imagine I said something eloquent. I admire it.
Their sheer bloody-mindedness.
That's the one. Actually, that's better than whatever it was I was thinking of. We'll see how it goes. I don't have my hopes up.
I mean, they really just weren't selling near the end before they went pop the first time. Mm. The seaboards were just not selling.
I remember we had a customer come in trying to ditch one of the smaller ones, but still the big, on the rise. And he was just so insulted by what we were offering him because we knew nobody wanted to pay big money for them, even though it was basically brand new. And I think he bought it from us as well. But yeah. Mm. Yeah. We'll see. We shall see. I do hope the Osmos does well. Most exciting of the news bits this week, I think, our friends. I keep saying our friends. I wish we were friends with all of these people. The Black Corporation from Japan. We have updates on what is definitely not a Jupiter 8 clone. But yeah, it's definitely a Jupiter 8. What are they calling it? The ISE-NIN, which doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, and I don't exactly know what it why it means. But yes, March 2022 is the date. Same format as the newer Deckard's Dream and that other one that I can never remember the name of, but that relatively deep desktop, nicely finished aluminium enclosure type situation. You can see it here with all its lovely voice cards hanging out the back. And we have pricing as well. You have a deposit of 1,199 US dollaroos, and you pay the rest on shipping. Total is 3,749.
Mm, still way cheaper than a Jupiter 8, though.
Absolutely, and given their reputation, it will be pretty solid, I reckon, and probably sound amazing.
I mean, they distinctly are going for the colour scheme of a Jupiter 8.
Oh, yeah, orange and black.
Absolutely no doubt what they're trying to emulate.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they've even shied away from saying it. Does this do MPE? I assume it must do.
Does it have memories?
Yes, Poly Aftertouch and MPE, 128 presets per bank across 10 banks. 1,280 presets if you want it. Yep, amazing.
It might be really, 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 really good.
It may well be. I don't know if there's a DIY option like there is. Also available as DIY kits, I just read.
Okay. I'm not sure if I want to embark on one of those.
No, I mean, you do a voice card a week or something.
A lot of surface mount.
They are, aren't they? Yeah. Let's have a look, shall we? Ba-ba-dee-dand-a-way. Okay, so it's Deckard's Dream, which is the CS80. Then there's Kijimi. Do you know what that one is?
I have no idea.
We've then got Xerxes, which I vaguely remember what it was about, but it was something super left field and strange. Oh, I saw the order a kit button. Pre-order a kit, which will be $299 for a deposit. What's the full kit price? I don't know. Oh, here we go. Full price of PCB's kit is $999. I wonder if they give you the panel and the shell and the casing and such.
I seem to remember with the Deckard's Dream, the Mark 1.
They originally didn't.
You had to go to a third party to get a rack mount case and the front panel.
Yeah, it's similar to how the TTSH kit happened as well, though that wasn't Black Corporation.
Personally, I think if I was buying a Deckard's Dream, I would buy a fully built one from a UK supplier, like KMR.
It is a horrifying overhead of your own work to have to rely upon, isn't it?
Yes.
If you do build one. Imagine if it does go well, that would be a very satisfying build if it does work.
Well, Molten Music Monthly, that gentleman has been building one for the best part of a year.
Oh, really?
In chunks.
Deckard's Dream?
Yeah, on his YouTube channel. So
nice.
It does a proportion. I'm not sure. I haven't really kept up with his or any of his videos, to be honest, but I am aware that he...
It's an epic project.
...does that or has been doing it. But it's not for me. I haven't even looked at that 2600 kit.
Oh, the TTSH thing?
I haven't looked at that
TTS... Wait, no, because you ordered one.
Yeah.
I forgot you had one. I just mentioned it offhand. I totally forgot you... Did you buy a full kit or did you just get the PCBs?
I got the PCBs, the front panel.
Oh, yeah.
And these... sort of gator things that are supposed to sort of like dust.
Oh, for all the faders?
For the faders. Yeah, and I've got all the components. I did the bomb through Mauser, I think, I want to say. But I think I've got 90% of the components, if not more, and I've got everything. It's all in the box, and I haven't given it a second thought since I've had it.
Ready to attack
I might sell it on as a kit.
Yeah, fair enough. Not bad.
I mean, in reality, I should have bought one of those full-size Korg re-releases when I had the chance.
Good luck actually getting in on
I could have got in there.
Could you have done?
Well, we had the heads up. We knew when it was happening, so I could have got my order. I had to pay full whack for
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I could have got at the head of the queue and got one. And I didn't, and I'm kicking myself now.
No. We have reports from a ModCaf attendee that the Mini is still great. Apart from the keyboard being small, if you care.
Does it come with a keyboard?
I think so. Definitely comes with a case as well.
Yes. But no, the full-size one is the one you want.
Yeah, it was cool. I did get to play with one a couple of times. Oh, good fun.
The full kudos, plus the fact they've doubled in value.
Have they?
Yes.
Oh, wow. It would have been a good investment.
Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Always is. Right. One small bit of news, which you might be interested in on this one. Pete, there is a small company. I say company. It's a dude who's made a thing, as so often happens in the Eurorack world. What's his name? Nick Ansell is using a platform called EuroPy, which is a open source programming thing. I think it's Python based, and also the really small versions of the Raspberry Pi. And he's got a Eurorack module that he's calling EuroPy, and it's a combination of sort of Turing machine-ish and sort of grids, those two modules. So you've got six outputs, four or three, I think, are the gates from grids. Is it, do you have three or is it four outputs on grids?
Three. But they've all got accents as well, so there's two outputs per drum voice.
Gotcha. I think there's a certain amount of configurability for this, but you've got six outputs, two encoders and two buttons. Now, your two encoders are, the one on the right will select through the different patterns available, and I think you can do that per voice. And the one on the left will inject Turing machine style kind of randomness. So you could select your beat with your first control and then go to the other one, inject some randomness for a bit of a fill and go back to your music. And it does CV as well as gate output, so it can do Turing machine style melodies as well. And on the control that will do the randomness for your Turing machine-y parts, all the way anti-clockwise will just be that looping sequence, as you might be familiar with.
And how much one of these devices set you back?
It's mostly GitHub to look at the things that you need and do it yourself, but it looks like you might be making a few for sale. But if you're okay with going all the way from scratch and probably having your own PCBs made, then GitHub.
That's not too problematic these days, to be honest.
From what I've seen, and I haven't done much looking into it since I don't really know what I'm doing, yeah, not too bad. I can't remember who was talking about doing it. We spoke to Finn about that, actually, a little bit.
Yes.
When we interviewed him, didn't we? Yeah. But I think it's a cool idea, just mashing two pretty cool modules together. EuroPy, if you want to go find it. Or what do they call it? The EuroPy, is it the Consequencer? Yes, EuroPy is the company. Consequencer is the module.
And how much would one of those cost you if you bought them from the gentleman who's developed that product?
Nick says he will build a small run. That's the information we have. So Got to go find him on his GitHub page and message him or something.
We have no idea.
Absolutely no idea. But just for your ideas, I don't know, it's there. It's happening.
Cool.
Pretty neat. And I think that swings us round to the final stage, where we do our miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. Pete, are you ready?
Yes.
Amazing.
I am ready. Well, this week, a little YouTube channel that came across my radar this week, and I thought it would be interesting for our listeners. The channel is called Audio University.
Cool.
And it's a gentleman who basically tackles very discreet questions in respect to music production, and some of them are basic, but I thought they were quite good. For me personally, I'm always looking for more simplistic explanations of various technologies that I can relay to customers when they ask you things like, what is a balanced cable? Why do you need one? What is a DI box?
Handy.
And he basically tackles one of these questions per video. Again, the videos are reasonably short, no more than 10 minutes, I believe. And he'll just lay it out completely in tangible and understandable language with possibly the addition of a few diagrams.
Sounds perfect.
It might be old information to many people, but it's always nice to have a recap or have a fresh interpretation of a technology or technological description. So that is my recommendation for this week. It's the YouTube channel Audio University.
Awesome. That sounds really good. Quite a nice resource. I have a YouTube channel. What a surprise. This is one I discovered a long time ago. It's not massively active, but what's there is definitely worth watching and listening to. This is a Eurorack modular YouTubery person called Andor Polgar. That's A-N-D-O-R P-O-L-G-A-R. Andor Polgar. We have such titles as Training a Cat to Play the OP-1, Generative Vactrol Drums with Make Noise LXD, and such like. There's one really cool one with rings into clouds with a little hand-cranked music box. You know, you can kind of run the paper through and it does the thing. That's quite fun. Go and have some mostly relaxing ambient modular stuff. Andor Polgar. Thank you so much for listening to our 11th episode of this wonderful podcast. I hope you enjoyed. And I hope you tune in for the next one.